work session on House Bill 4010. And I will have Representative Bruce Starr come forward, and if there's anyone that Representative Starr would like to have with him, he's certainly welcome to do that. And he's standing in the crowd, and none of you are deemed worthy.
I could come down and join you, Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bruce Starr, State Representative in House District 30 in Washington County. I'm here to testify on the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 4010. This bill was heard in the interim special committee yesterday or the day before. Part of that testimony, there was some information presented by the governor regarding this bill. What this bill, I'll just briefly outline it and then outline the amendment. What this bill in its original form did was bond the OTIA, the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, raised the bond limit from $400 to $500 million, allowed the department to bond as much as the interest rates will allow them, because we have lower interest rates than when we ended the session. There's a gap there. There's an additional amount we can bond with the money that we raised during the session. What the bill also did is provided the department the tool to bond existing revenue up to $500 million for bridges to deal with the bridge situation in the state. The bill also had some public contracting language to provide the department some additional tools to get the 131 projects that the commission approved last month on the road quicker, faster, and in a more efficient manner. The problem that we face with this bill is that the governor had significant concerns about providing the department additional bonding authority without additional revenue to back up those bonds. We have a policy disagreement, but we're in the middle of a special session where we hope to move some things through the process in a quick order. What these amendments do is remove from the bill the language regarding the new bonding for existing revenue, the $500 million for bridges. Any language referenced in the bill along those issues have been removed, and that's what the Dash 2 amendments do. I've had long conversations with governor's staff on this, believe that we passed this bill with these amendments, the governor will sign it. I think there's good things in this bill that in a special session environment, I think that we ought to move through this process. To me, it seems like a no-brainer to get these other things again, to expand the OTIA project process, and also to help the department get these projects out quicker with these public contracting statutes. So I'd ask for you to adopt the Dash 2 amendments and then proceed to move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll be happy to answer any questions. If there's questions related to the department, there's staff here from the department that I'm sure can answer those. And there's also governor's staff here in the room if there's questions concerning that as well.
Thank you, Representative Starr. Do we have a question? Representative Butler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just Representative Starr, and perhaps some of this needs to be directed towards the department. Tell me about the consultant contracts and how that will save us both time, money, and energy, as well as full-time positions, and how it will advance 131 projects.
I think we have some folks from ODOT here, and it sounds to me like that's our wake-up call.
Good afternoon, Chair Wilson, members of the committee. I'm Doug Tindall, State Maintenance Engineer for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Chair Wilson, Representative Butler, what we envision to move forward with not only OTIA but whatever other sources of funding come along is to transition the department from using around 20% consultants to a much higher percentage of consultants. We don't envision adding on all of the staff to take on this workload. We feel that it's prudent to handle that workload by using consultants and other innovative like design build types of contracting.
Follow up. So Doug, from what you're saying, then we were told originally that most of the 131 projects were quote unquote on the shelf, which I took to mean that because we have not reduced the number of engineers in the department for some time, that these projects were basically ready to go. And we were told early on that these were ready to go. And now, I understand that maybe we might have to have a few new hands, I think is one of the things I'm hearing. Can you maybe bring me up to speed on what that might mean?
I can try. Chair Wilson, Representative Butler, I don't know that I would have characterized the projects that we're constructing under OTIA as on the shelf. We didn't know what those projects were going to be as we worked our way through the public process. So to say that we had a body of work sitting around that we had predetermined what that was going to be would be a stretch, and so I wouldn't have said on the shelf. Nevertheless, your question, I believe, is still valid. While we're accomplishing OTIA, we're also continuing to accomplish our existing body of work. What we think is, and I think the director has characterized this as if we need any additional positions, you could count them on two hands. That as we, in order to continue to accomplish our existing workload and take on OTIA with expediency to get the contracts out quickly, may require some marginal increase in staff. But it's not hiring. If you would have said you're going to get $50 million in the old days, if you would have told old ODOT you're going to get $50 million a year for 6 years, we would have come back and told you we need 125 FTE. And we're not saying anything close to that. We're planning on doing most of the work through consultants. We may need some people to help us manage the consultants while we're continuing to deliver our existing STIP workload.
And another follow-up.
Follow-up.
It's my understanding that some of these could certainly be moved to design-build contracts where we don't have any hands-on other than just the existing staff that we have. Will more of these projects be moved to the design-build method?
Chair Wilson, Representative Butler, yes. Design-build is something we're looking to, and we're going to be looking to more. It does, as you suggest, lessen the impact on ODOT. We are currently, to do design-build, we have to move through the exception process. Some of the provisions of Representative Starr's bill help speed that up. We are currently have moved through the exception process on two OTIA bridges already. The list was just finaled a few weeks ago. We started the process, so we'll be ready. But yeah, I think that's an indication that we're going to move to design build, and we plan on doing more of that type of work.
And one final question directed to the author of the bill, if I may. Representative Starr, as we move this from the increase from $400 million to $500 million, does that contemplate additional new revenues? Perhaps even a new tax that may be imposed by someone in this special session or at some future time in the immediate future?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, no. There's no new taxes in this bill at all. Really, the $500 million is a cap. The amount is a float depending on how much they can bond via interest rates. But there's a $500 million cap. I honestly doubt they'll reach the cap, but they'll be somewhere in the middle. My understanding few months ago with interest rates where they were, it was about $67 million additional dollars that they could bond.
Just one clarification. I assume the $67 million is as a result of the new lower interest rates which we have been experiencing. I just want to make certain that there's nothing in the extra $100 million to contemplate new taxes being imposed and then bonding those new taxes or registration fees or anything of that nature.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, no.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug, I'd like to put a slightly finer point on your characterization of marginal increases in staff. How many?
Chair Wilson, Representative Johnson, the director has characterized that as you can count it on two hands.
Thanks.
I know how to count on hands.
I just wanted to show you I don't have a deformity.
That's apparently, and on my best day, I can make it to 10. The reason I look modestly incredulous is I understood that there had already been a request for some additional folks for the OTIA for the 131 projects, and that Representative Starr's bill might cause there to be another request for folks, and I wanted to get that clarified.
Chair Wilson, Representative Johnson, we're working on that two-handed request, and that may have been what you heard. I don't believe there was another request subsequent to that as a result of Representative
Johnson. I just want to have to take my shoes off. will these be permanent positions, or will these be...
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, what we're looking at is...
Identify yourself for the record, please.
Mike Marsh from ODOT. Thank you. We are looking at identifying them as limited duration for the period of the 8 years of the project. The challenge is the budgeting system doesn't say you can set aside 8 years, so what we'll probably be doing is saying it's permanent for the biennium, and then listing on the legislative record that we expect these positions to last, depending on whether they're contracting or project management, between 4 and 8 years.
One last finer point. Will any of these folks be field folks, or are they all anticipated to be head office?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, it's a split. There are some of the positions that will be central in order to get contracts completed and out the door, and others will be project management folks. But as we've redefined project management to some extent, we're doing a different, moving towards a different approach, and I think it may have been discussed earlier, some of the design build approaches and how we do project management for that, as well as the concept of managing a program of projects rather than one individual.
Have you had a serious chat with DOJ about how fast they can turn those contracts around? Because it was my experience in my time with the department that there was quite a protracted wait sometimes in checking for legal sufficiency at DOJ.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, yes, we've been working very closely with the Department of Justice, and the bill as it exists incorporates their thoughts about how to help speed up that process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Butler, did you...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As much as Mr. Marsh is not at the table, I did have one other comment or question that I would like to ask. Many of the projects may actually be local community projects where cities and counties could be on board. I wanted to know if there's contemplated... so as to preserve the resources within the Department of Transportation and to try and enhance the partnerships which we have with local governments, are we going to go ahead and as much as possible sub this work out and actually contract out with cities and counties as opposed to enhancing our own staffs here in Salem?
Mr. Chair, we start with Doug and I'll have a follow-up.
Chair Wilson, Representative Butler, yes, the answer to that question is yes, we anticipate the locals will do the local projects, and in fact, on a couple of the projects on state highways, the locals are doing the work contract management for us.
Great.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, wanted to also mention in terms of that partnership element, we do have bond authority within the Department of Transportation budget for in local governments. If they wish to do bonding on their own with their own money, there is a possibility of working with us about getting those bonds done through us. And so we can use that limitation we have available.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Starr, just a couple of quick questions. This is one of these situations where I haven't had a chance to ask these questions in advance, so if it's something you haven't got a ready answer to, you can give it to me later. Quite often when I was on the school board and I was on the board of a large hospital, we would float bonds at a very good interest rate, but we wouldn't use all that money immediately. We knew we needed it for projects 3 or 4, even 5 years down the road, and we had an opportunity to bond at that time. We didn't rush to build those projects. We did them in a steady, regular fashion. Does this bill allow you to sell bonds now and then use the money, you know, carefully over the next 4, 5, 6 years, or do you have to go and sell bonds only as the projects come up?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, the answer is yes, and the department is looking at how they group these projects together to bond. You know, Mike probably could answer that in a more detailed fashion, but the answer is yes. They're looking at ways to bond more sooner so to take advantage of those low interest rates.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
I was afraid that might be the case, and frankly, it's a little disappointing. We have an unusual situation of extremely low interest rates right now, which many of us feel is not going to hold. If you bond those for certain projects, are you then committed to build within a certain length of time?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, the answer, I believe, again, is yes. And again, if Mike is a backup here, I believe that there's a 6-year time limit on that. And so I'd turn that over to Mike at this point.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, there is a 6-year time limit before severe penalties. There is a 3-year time limit on arbitrage issues where we start having to pay an interest. And so it can be a cost of doing business to figure that you go ahead and pay that interest. The best thing for us to do is to try to plan our issuances of the bonds so that we can complete them or have them sizably and significantly complete within the 3 years and then reissue for the next series of bonds. So the goal would be to try to balance that so we can get the amount of projects out that we can do in about the 3-year time frame. But as is mentioned, if we figure in the calculus that the rates are so low at that particular time, it may be enough to actually get the bonds out now, and it may pencil out to pay the interest later. It's one of those things we have to work out on the time of issuance.
Follow-up.
Well, Mr. Chair, another little thing we used to do was we would sell those bonds at a low rate. Quite often would reinvest them at a little higher rate. We made some substantial amounts of money over two or three period of time against the projects we planned on. Does this bill allow that to occur?
Mr. Chair and Representative Bates, I'd say you have the right to remain silent and anything you can... No, just kidding, sir. The fact of the matter is we have to be careful about the arbitrage because we will have penalties we need to pay in terms of interest, and actually it can get severe to the point that if you don't complete enough of the work, a high enough percentage of the work, that we can be taken off the bond market. So clearly we will have to watch that, and maybe in the days when you were working with that, they didn't have as severe penalties. Now we have to watch that very close.
That was a year ago,
Mr. Chair.
Very nice.
I was going to say that the good representative, Representative Bates, that they start calling you dirty names now when you do that, like defendant and accused and things like that.
For the good of the kids.
He'll have immunity for a few days.
Yes. Can't be any worse than being locked up here. Anyway, one last.
Sure, follow up.
Representative Starr, I'm on this bill. I think it's a great bill. I think we can move forward. The only thing I'm concerned about is the governor also has a bill, hopefully, will be coming out that not only does what you're doing, but complements your bill, I believe. But it also brings in a new source of revenue by raising the title fees, which in this state are ridiculously low, and raising which you partially helped us with last time, and I appreciate that. I think we'll move from 50th to like 46th in the country or something, moves it up, and that would be new funding to come in that would really help with what you're doing already. I don't want people to think this diminishes that, that this does not complement that, that both these bills working together can really get Oregon where they need to go. I drive back and forth on I-5 now on a regular basis, about once a week. And I've seen those bridges close down and been sent through Roseburg and other towns with all the trucks in the middle of the night at 10, 15 miles an hour. Our bridges are in real trouble, and this is a good step in changing that. But the governor's bill complements this and should be brought forward, too.
Thank you. Any further questions for this panel of witnesses? Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also wanted to compliment Representative Starr on his work here. If I remember correctly, the license fees currently go to DMV, but anyway, that's another issue. Clearly, infrastructure and economic development are key components of the work we're supposed to be doing here. And I want to use an example to see what kind of flexibility is going to be afforded here. The community of Oak Ridge is scheduled to have a major resurfacing project go through there. The community would like to build sidewalks and do a few other things so that like people might actually want to stop there. Amazing concept. You know, as they try to retool their town away from timber dependency to tourism and a few other things, they have been told at this point in time that the whole thing would have to be put on hold for 2 years because it didn't fit in with ODOT's original plan. I'm wondering if there's going to be the sort of flexibility that we can still be timely on these things, but also meet some of the local needs for the economic development. I mean, clearly that is an economic development piece, and clearly it would benefit a community that's been hard-pressed. So is in all of this, there's going to be that sort of flexibility to tie in the local needs of a project that, in this case, wasn't part of the original ODOT plan, but certainly fits the needs of the community.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cruz, I'll take a stab at that, and then, again, I'll look for backup if necessary. But I think that in the process that the commission and the department went through in identifying the 131 projects that were approved last month. It was a very open process that included the area commissions on transportation, where lots of these projects were aired, and lots of them, you know, the good ones rose to the top, and the ones that didn't quite fit, you know, fell below the line. There was that opportunity for that, you know, that local discussion about how we fund these projects. My expectation is that if there's additional money, that process again would be put into place where again, local folks would come together and identify projects. And how that works as far as the department maybe broadening the scope of a project to meet local need, I'm not sure how that fits within this particular piece. So I guess I would look to my left and my right to see if there's any additional comments there.
Chair Wilson, Representative Cruz, in fact, some of the projects that came forward in OTIA did exactly what you're talking about and expanded those. And as Representative Starr suggested, some of the projects did enhance existing. There were a couple, and I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. They were on the towards the coast. Not sure they're made in your district, but they're towards the coast in Southern Oregon, where we had an existing project in our statewide transportation improvement program and another one here and a gap in the middle, and we were able to infill that gap. Another project I think was on US 101 where we were doing a marginal improvement, and we did expand that through the use of OTIA funds. So OTIA has given us that flexibility to do exactly the types of things that you're talking about.
Okay. I guess the question at this point would be, are we pretty much tied into a project package, or is there still, because we're not talking major dollars here. Is there still a flexibility for a community to bring forth their needs and maybe still have some adjustments in the process?
And Chair Wilson, Representative Cruz, we got $1.5 billion worth of requests for $400 million. There's a lot on the table that remains unfunded, and in fact didn't include some of the other major projects that we're aware of. So and I'm just informed that Oak Ridge was one of those projects that was unfunded in OTIA. So it has been considered, and by the provisions of this bill would have the opportunity to be expanded as some of the other projects have.
So for example, if they could get some economic development dollars into the project, then there is room to maneuver here. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative March.
Thank you. I wasn't going to raise a question, but the discussion brought out a point. You said there's $1.5 billion worth of projects, and that was through the OTIA process. What do you think the sort of infrastructure needs of the cities and the counties bridges out there that wouldn't be part of the normal OTIA process? Do you have any ballpark of how much is out there?
Chair Wilson, Representative March, probably somebody from the counties would have a better number than I can come up with for you. I'm not conversant with
existing in the range
the requirements are.
Mr. Chair, Representative March. The OTIA process did allow the dollars to be spent on cities and county bridges, and there are some city and county bridges that are involved or part of this 131 project. How many below the line, I'm not sure.
Chair Wilson, Representative March, there were 100 million local bridge projects submitted for OTIA. We funded about 35 million of that. Speaking with Mr. Penhall, we're not sure how many more needs beyond that, but to give you a scale of magnitude, in a very short period of time, people were able to identify $100 million of specific projects. And certainly, as I indicated with the $1.5 billion, that doesn't take in the whole universe of what's out there.
But this bill provides no funding stream for continuing to provide any additional revenue to cities and counties other than what's within the bonding capacity.
Mr. Chair, Representative Martha, that's correct.
And that's a shortcoming, I'm afraid, but thank you.
Hey, thank you. Any further questions for this group? All right, thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
That. Pat Egan, you come up. Governor's office.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Pat Egan. I'm the governor's Transportation and Economic Development Advisor. I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to come up, with the amendments, we would support this legislation if it comes through. Obviously, we still have our own case to make, but that's for another time. If I could, there were just a couple of questions that I think I might be able to help answer that were asked. Representative Bates asked about the IRS penalties, just a little piece. Congress is considering some legislation right now, considering that Oregon's not the only place that's looking at the attractive bond rates right now, and that if that legislation were to come about, there would be an increase in the time periods that Mr. Marsh was referencing. So hopefully we will be able to be as creative as we can be and as smart as we can be about the taking advantage of the excellent bond rates. And I just want to commend the chair and the committee for your work here. I guess that's about all I have, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Pat? All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, committee, I'm going to stand us down for just a few moments.